Psalm of David, and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, this is an illustration of someone that has fallen to the bottom of the pit. They're at the bottom of the pit. They're at a low place in their life. Matter of fact, they're at the lowest place in their life. Most of us know what it is like to experience depression. And I deal with that on a pretty regular basis. I was thinking this past week, Gwen and I took a couple of days off, and we took the horses and the trailer, and we camped out, and we had a fire built, and I was sitting outside, and I said, here, I ought to be at the top of my game here, and why is it that I feel like that I could sit on a piece of toilet paper and dangle my legs? There is a place of that we can feel low. Well, David had come to this place that he felt low. He was low. He said, I'm down in the pit. And he said, when I got down in the pit, now this is so wonderful about God. This is such a fantastic thing about the Lord, is that when we are at that lowest place in our life, when we are depressed and we feel so low, we're down in the pit, we're in the horrible pit. And he says that God, yeah, he reached down, he inclined, he reached down, he heard my cry. It was God that was waiting for me to cry out, to come to that place for God to forgive me. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed. There's that word. There's our word, happy, fulfilled, is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Look at Isaiah 6, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You know this passage. You'll be familiar with it, because you know that it was when Isaiah sees the Lord in the temple, and he sees the Lord high and lifted up. But when he comes to be confronted by the Lord, in verse 5, this is what he says. Then said I, now think about it. Here's the prophet of Israel. I mean, if there was another man that was closer to him, to God, I don't know who it would be. This is Isaiah the prophet. He wasn't some kind of stem winder here on the back page. He's Isaiah the prophet. And in verse 5 he says, then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The thief on the cross in Luke 23 received forgiveness. In Matthew 9 and verse 2, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let's look at these other passages in Luke 7. What does it all have to do with? Our need for forgiveness. Our need to have the Lord to forgive us of our sin. That we have to come to a place to realize that we are in desperate need. Look at Luke 7, verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Let's see, I was going to keep reading here. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, and hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are you seeing it now? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So, you think you hadn't sinned much? You don't have much need of forgiveness? That really you're a pretty good gal? You're a pretty good guy? So your attitude toward the Lord is different than that woman's was, because she realized the desperate need that she had for forgiveness. I'm not saying that there's some folks that are not meaner than others, but I believe that most of us are in the same boat. I've come up with this machine that I can put on your head, and it will transfer everything that you thought this week on the screen. And I'm looking for volunteers. I would not volunteer. You see, I know that my need is desperate. My need for forgiveness is desperate. But I also know that your need for forgiveness is desperate. Don't get me wrong. When you're born again, you're changed. Don't misunderstand me on that behalf. But your love for the Lord has to do, and your work for the Lord, and your excitement for the Lord's work has to do with how much you think that you've been forgiven for. Let's look at Acts 26 and verse 18. I don't want to pass that. Acts, Romans 26 and look at verse 18. This is Paul's commission. This is what he is called to do. And This is what I think that the church is called to do. I think this is what you and I are called to do. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified, that means set apart, by faith that is in me. Now let's look at another aspect of this forgiveness. We've talked about the forgiveness that God has given us for our sin. Let's look at receiving forgiveness from others. We talked about Peter's meeting the Lord at breakfast time there on the lake of Tiberias a couple of weeks ago. So I believe that Peter received forgiveness from Jesus that morning by the seaside at breakfast. There wasn't a